We're up to Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter of Hilchos Deos. In most standard Rambams, this will be on Daf Tes Zion. Halacha Aleph. Derech Briyasa Shel Adam, it is part of the natural way in which man was created. To be influenced in his character and his actions according to his friends and colleagues. Noheg Kiminhag Anshimidinaso. And he acts according to the practices and customs of the people of his land. Fikach, therefore, since you're influenced by your friends, you should choose your friends, you should join yourself to righteous people, sit next to wise people, talmud constantly. So you should learn from their deeds. On the other hand, you should keep far away from the wicked people, who go in the darkness, so that you should not learn from their deeds. This is what King Solomon says, he that walks with the wise himself becomes wise, and he that pastures with the fools becomes evil. And it says, fortunate is the man, and the first capital, the first chapter of Tillim, that talks about how fortunate is a man who does not sit among the wicked people, but only among the righteous ones. Chayin, similarly, if he's living in a country whose practices are bad, the people in that country do not follow the proper way. You should leave that place, go to a place where the people are righteous, and where they practice good ways. If all of the countries that he knows about or hears about are all acting in a not good way, like in our times, or even if he knows where there is a good country that has good conduct, but he can't go there because of wars and highwaymen on the way and because of sickness, then Yeshub Lavada Yechidi, he should sit alone by himself, not join with these wicked people. Kin Yishinam, as it says, Yeshub Bedod V'Yidom, he sits alone quietly. If they're so bad that they don't leave him alone, he can't be quiet and sit by himself. They don't let him sit by himself. They force him to mix in with their bad customs and practices. He should go out to the caves, to the places where the wild thorn bushes grow, to the deserts. He shouldn't conduct himself in the ways of the sinners. Like it says, if only I would be out in the desert, a place where the passers-by stay over. In other words, just a desolate place all alone by myself. Halacha Beis. Mitzvah Aseh, Lidobik B'Chachamim V'Tamideim. It's a positive commandment of the Torah to cleave to the sages and their students, Kedei Lilmud B'Maseihem, in order to learn from their deeds. Kin Yishinam, as it says, Avo Sidbok, you should cleave to him. Is it possible for a person to cleave to Hashem, to the Divine Presence? How can we fulfill the mitzvah of cleaving to Him? This is how the sages interpreted this mitzvah. Cleave to the sages and their disciples. And that's how you perform the mitzvah of cleaving to Hashem, by cleaving to godly, inspired people. Therefore, a person has to make an effort to marry the daughter of a Torah sage, he should make sure that his daughter marries a sage. To eat and drink together with the sages. And to make business together with the sage. And to join them with all kinds of joining. As it says, to cleave to him. Similarly, the sages commanded, V'yamarun said, sit at the dust of their feet, V'shosu V'tzomest Avraham, and drink their words thirstily. It is a commandment, a mitzvah, for every one to love each and every Jew just like his own self. As it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, you have to praise your friend and be concerned that with his property, that he doesn't lose anything, just like you're concerned for your own property, and you want yourself to be held in esteem. If you find honor by insulting your friend, by comparing yourself to your friend, in casting your friend in a negative light, you have no share in the world to come. There are two positive commandments to love a convert who has come to rest under the wings of the Divine Presence. And one because he's included with love your neighbor as yourself. And a second one because he is a convert. There's a special commandment in the Torah to love the convert. Hashem commands us to love the convert just as the love of Hashem. As it says, you should love Hashem your God. So the same way that you love Hashem, you should love the convert. Hashem himself loves the stranger who converted. As it says, he loves the stranger. If you hate a Jew in your heart, over blossa say you transgress a prohibition. Shinam as it says, Lo sisnas achicha bo vavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. You don't get flogged for this prohibition because there is no action involved in it. Now the prohibition of the Torah is to hate in your heart. If you don't hate him, you just beat him up in person. Even though, of course, you're not allowed to do that. But you don't transgress the commandment that says do not hate. It's a special commandment. Obviously, you're not allowed to hate someone that's a violation of other commandments. But there's a specific commandment not to hate. If a man sins to his fellow man, you shouldn't hate him in silence. But as it says, by wicked people. Avshalom said nothing to Amnon. He was angry at what Amnon had done to his sister, but he said nothing, neither bad nor good. For Avshalom hated Amnon. So the Rambam says, the law is you're not supposed to hold in that hatred. And a mitzvah of Lodio, if he wronged you, it's a mitzvah for you to tell him. And to say to him, why did you do such and such to me? Why did you sin against me in such a thing? It says, you shall surely rebuke your friend. Now, as we'll see in the next halacha, this applies also if you see him doing any kind of sin that you should rebuke him. But first and foremost, the simple pshat is, if he harms you, you shouldn't bear him a grudge and hate him, but rebuke him, admonish him, and find out what the problem is so that you can solve it. Now, if indeed the person repents of his ways and asks him to forgive him, you should forgive him. The person who is asked to forgive should not be cruel. As it says in the pasuk, "V'ispalel Avraham el Elohim," when Avimelech kidnapped Avram's wife and he was afflicted and plagued, he asked Avram to pray for him, and Avram did pray for him. He was willing to forgive him. If you see your friend sinning or going in a bad path, it's a mitzvah to get him back to the right way. To let him know that he's sinning upon himself, the mice of Orion, by his bad deeds. It says, you shall surely admonish your friend. And this includes stopping him from doing other sins. If you rebuke your friend, whether about something that he did to you or something that he's doing against God, you have to rebuke him privately. Speak to him gently and softly. Tell him that what you're telling him is only for his own good, to bring him to the world to come. If he accepts the rebuke, good. And if not, he should admonish him a second time and a third time. And constantly is to continue to admonish him until the sinner hits him. And he says to him, "Eini shomei, I'm not going to listen to you." If you have the opportunity to stop someone from wrongdoing and you do not do that, he is responsible for that sin, since he could have stopped these people from doing it. If you're rebuking your friend, tchila lo yidaber lo koshos, atshiach limenu. In the beginning, you shouldn't speak harshly to him until you embarrass him. Shneim, as it says, lo sisa alav chait, do not bear a sin upon him. What does that mean? Kacham uchachamim, the sages said this, yachlat mechicha panav v'shtamas, you might think you should admonish him until his face changes with embarrassment. Tabalama, the Torah says, do not bear a sin upon him. You're not allowed to humiliate him. From here we learn, you're not allowed to embarrass a Jew. Certainly not to publicly embarrass him. So even privately, you have to gently admonish him. Even though you don't get flogged for embarrassing your friend, it's still a great sin. Thus said the sages. If you publicly embarrass your friend, you have no share of the world to come. You have to be careful not to embarrass your friend publicly, whether he's small or large. Don't call him by name that he's embarrassed of, a nickname that he doesn't like. Don't relate to him something that embarrasses him. All of this applies between laws, between man and his fellow man. When it comes to heavenly things, if he refuses to do tshuva after being rebuked privately, then you publicly you embarrass him. And you publicize his sin, and you curse him to his face, and you despise and curse him, until he goes back to the right way. As all of the prophets did in Israel. If your friend sinned against you, you didn't want to admonish him, and not speak to him at all. He was a real low-level sinner. Sorry, he was crazy. And instead of rebuking him, you're not angry at him either. On the contrary, you forgive him. You don't hate him, but you didn't rebuke him. This is an admirable attribute of piety. The Torah doesn't insist that you rebuke him if he did something bad to you. The Torah doesn't want you to be angry. If you're not angry, that's fine. A person has to be careful about orphans and widows. They feel very low. They're low in spirits. And even if they have money. Even the widow and orphan of a king, even though they're powerful and rich, they still feel downtrodden. We're commanded not to do anything bad to them. As it says, any widow or orphan you should not afflict. How do we act with them? Speak to them only gently. Treat them honorably. Don't make their bodies hurt with work, or their hearts with harsh words. You should be concerned for their money more than for your own property. Whoever does anything bad to them, or angers them, or gives them pain, or rather them, or tries to dominate them, or ovid mamonim, or ruins their money, will also say he transgresses a negative commandment of the Torah. Certainly if you hit them or curse them. Even though you don't get flogged for this transgression, the Torah says it's punishment. My anger will burn, and I will kill you with a sword. The creator of the world made a covenant with them. Whenever they call out of oppression, they are answered. If they call out to me, I will surely hear their calls, their screams. When is it prohibited to afflict the orphan and the widow? If he's afflicting them for his own benefit. If the teacher afflicts them in order to teach them Torah, or in order even to teach them to have a trade, To have them go on the right path. Raise a mutter, then it's permitted. He's a teacher and he has to be use discipline, and that's okay. Even so, even a teacher was allowed to, still shouldn't act like a regular person. He should be different with them. He should treat them gently, with a lot of compassion. Covet and honor. As it says, Hashem Yoribim, Hashem fights their fight. How long are they called orphans for? So they no longer need a big person to depend on, and to train them, and to work with them. When he does all of his needs for himself, like all of the big people, then he's no longer considered an orphan.